الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we complete the last hadith and the kitab al-sunnati wa adabiha, the chapter on the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the etiquette of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As we see from the various ahadith that the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is ajmal, the most beautiful, akmal, most perfect. The way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did anything, that was the most perfect way of doing it, the most natural way of doing it, the most beautiful way of doing it. Ashal, the most easiest way of doing things was the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. If you look at the way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and he ate, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't sit with his back when he would eat. He would sit on the floor, and he wouldn't sit. He says, Amma ana fala akulu muttakian. As far as I am concerned, I don't eat by resting myself back. And the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do this, from the hikmah, from the wisdoms of this, is that when a person is resting himself back, then his stomach is more open to eat more stuff, because now he's sitting back. But when your person is sitting on the floor, the food is down, he's bending forward, he's crouching. And when he's crouching, now the stomach is more compressed, and the person generally eats less. So naturally, the way we are taught, and the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam eats, is also beneficial for one's health also. Forget the ruhani, the spiritual aspect of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the benefit from a health perspective, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's style, his way, his demeanor. So therefore he would sit like this, he wouldn't sit on the table where the food is raised, have it down, so that when you go, you're actually bending to take the food and then you eat the food like that. So that now your stomach is more crowded, you don't overeat. So this, we look at this, is one example like that, the way Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to toilet, the way he used water. If we just analyze using water in the toilet, it's such a beautiful, clean, natural way of cleaning oneself. There was one brother who was a Roman Catholic priest. He used to stay here towards the latter part of his life. So he was explaining that when he accepted Islam, then he started using water in the toilet. So his parents, they were very upset. They were non-Muslims. So they were upset that why is he using water? What's the need for water? What is all this all about? So he said, I thought, let me look for a very nice, easy way to explain to my parents why I use water. So he told his father, you see, do me a favor. When you're cleaning the toilet, just use toilet paper like how we used to clean ourselves. Don't use any water to clean the toilet. So he said, the father looked at him strange. He said, no, but if you don't use water, we won't be able to clean the toilet. So he said, like that, if you don't use water to, and you without water, you're unable to clean the toilet, how you think you clean yourself without water? So he said, my father looked at my mother and said, hey, this boy's got a point. And then he says that this toilet is something that we are keeping more clean than we are keeping ourselves. The reality is we should be keeping ourselves even more cleaner than we keep the toilet. So like that, even the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so rational, is so beautiful. It has all the ingredients of being careful. It has all the ingredients of being beautiful. It has all the ingredients of being easy. It has all the ingredients of being akmal, the most perfect. And also it is ahsan. It is the most excellent, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's look at this one aspect. That we are taught that we must wash our hands before eating, and we are taught also after eating we should wash our hands. How practical this is. Now this was at a time, Rasulullah sallam is telling, when water was difficult to get, there was no municipal supply of water in the pipes, etc. In that environment, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that we should be washing our hands. Today they tell us how much we should be washing our hands before a person does anything. After he touches, he should be washing his hands. And this was taught to us how many years ago by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is something that's healthy, something that is good to do. So these are just some examples, the way we are taught to sleep on our right hand side, the way we are taught, the way Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam, he spoke, the way he walked, the way he approached things, the way he wouldn't get upset when he was attacked personally, then he wouldn't get upset. But when deen was attacked, then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get very, very upset, very angry. So all these are things that we have to bring into our lives, which have formed the beautiful sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So anyway, we come to the last hadith of the section. An Abbasin, an Abis ibn Rabi'ata radiyallahu anhu qal, ra'aytu Umar ibn al-Khattab yuqabbilu al-hajar, ya'ni al-aswad, wa yaqulu inni a'lamu annaka hajarun ma tanaffa'a wa la tadur, ولولا أني رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبلك ما قبلتك متفق عليه. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi brings a hadith to show that how careful Sahaba were with following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one is the beautiful sunnah, but here he brings a hadith to show that every inch of the way Sahaba were meticulous, that we must follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't leave it out. Unfortunately today sometimes we make a statement that it's only a sunnah. It's a very, very dangerous statement to make. Actually, we must be very careful and we should be proud that if it is a sunnah, it's all the more reason I should be doing it, because the beautiful action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, he brought this beautiful hadith here that Abis ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu narrated that I saw Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu kissing the black stone, kissing the Hajri Aswad. So he said, I saw Abis ibn Rabi'ah kissing the Hajri Aswad. Sorry, Maaf. Abis ibn Rabi'ah radiallahu anhu says, I saw Umar radiallahu anhu kissing the black stone, Hajri Aswad. And then he starts addressing the stone. Who? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu starts addressing the stone. He says, I know that you are a stone, that you can neither benefit nor harm. And then he says, if I had not seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissing you, I would never have kissed you. In other words, you don't have any benefit, you don't have any potential on your own to benefit, any potential on your own to harm. The only reason I'm kissing you is I'm kissing you because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed you. So it doesn't matter whether you have any benefit, you have any harm, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it makes sense, it doesn't matter whether it doesn't make sense. The only reason I'm kissing you, addressing the black stone, is because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed you. In other words, when it comes to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do it without even questioning. Here was something that outwardly he couldn't see any benefit, couldn't see any harm. Normally in the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can see so much of benefit. Look at the benefit of using the miswak. Person keeps his mouth clean, keeps his mouth fresh. He can see the benefit. Like that, the person sees the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of sleeping early, waking up early, eating less. Person sees the benefit of the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conducted his business, the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted. So he can see all the benefit, and yet sometimes we leave out the sunnah. Here Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is explaining that here there is absolutely no benefit by kissing you, no benefit and no harm that can come from you. So now he's there absolutely no benefit, but yet I'm doing it. Why? Because my Nabi did it. So that was enough reason for doing something. So imagine, it's all the more reason we should be doing things when there are so much more benefits that we can see. Remember, every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is benefit. Sometimes we can't see it because we don't know, it's not exposed to us. And sometimes we even know it just may be a portion of the benefit of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But every single benefit of, every single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has got so much benefit. Look, the month of Ramadan is coming. Ask those people who are in dieting, and ask those people who are health specialists, how much of physical benefit there is in fasting. So much of benefit there is in fasting, to such an extent that they'll encourage you even out of Ramadan to fast. And they'll tell you also, this is the benefit that you get from fasting. So there's so much of benefit in everything. And yet we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would fast Mondays, he would fast Thursdays, he would fast on the Ayyam Eid, etc. Person knows that this was the sunnah of Rasulullah. I mean, he knows now when he speaks to a dietitian, speak to this person, that there is benefit. So every sunnah has got benefit. Whether we understand it, we don't understand it, we should act like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing it, therefore I am doing it. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil